Howdy, caffeinistas, and welcome to Lattes with Dr. Llama. I'm your over-caffeinated host, Megan Ann Llama. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome Kathy Caron to the show. Kathy Caron is one of knitting's most prolific and popular designers. Her designs have appeared in Vogue Knitting, Knit Simple, Interweave Knit, and anywhere else you would expect to see the creme de la creme of the creme de la knits. She has written several books, including Hattitude, Cowl Girls, Short Stories, and the newly published Happy Feet. Kathy's books are so popular that Short Stories was a part of the swag bags at Vogue Knitting's gala dinner in 2012. Kathy is joining us today to discuss her newest masterpiece, Happy Feet, which hit shelves this month. Kathy, thank you so much for being here.
Megan Ann, thank you for having me. It's really exciting.
Kathy, I think one of the things that really sets your work apart is your ability to make something really mundane, like a sock, into something really joyful and interesting. Where do you usually get your inspiration when you sit down to design an object like socks?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, socks. You know, I didn't want to do socks initially. I told my publisher that I don't wear socks, I don't do socks. But no, I didn't. And there are so many sock books that had come out. But when I thought about it, I thought, you know, I can do socks. And it's not just socks I wanted to do. I wanted to do a book about the lower extremities, about just socks and slippers and leg warmers and thigh, you know, socks and knee socks. So I thought, there's a lot of ideas in there. So when I kind of looked at the topic more expansively, I thought, I can do this. So that was the really genesis of Happy Feet.
Well, and I think you really accomplished that. I love the variety that you see in it. There's even a sock I have to bring up. There's a sock with a pocket in it, which
yes.
is just fabulous.
Yes, well, that kind of echoed my cowl. I have also a cowl that I put a pocket in it so that you could use your iPod with it and listen to music while you were walking in the park or jogging. So I thought oftentimes when I'm at home and sometimes I just have to run out and get some milk or something, I think I just need a little bit of money and a credit card or something, and I might not have a pocket on my clothing. So I thought, why not put a pocket in a sock so I could just put a dollar bill in the sock, button it up, and run. So that was the inspiration behind that.
I love it. It's such a fun twist, and it's unexpected. I think one of the things that's really great about this book is there's a lot of patterns that you wouldn't necessarily expect to see.
Yeah, no, and they reflect what I wanted. It was like, how would I use these things? There's another example of a series of socks that I used in the garden. It's like, so it included socks that you could layer. And I thought to myself, I wear clogs in the garden. So, and sometimes it's very hot in the garden and sometimes it's chillier in the morning. And I wanted a sock that I could have a number of layers to, something without a heel, something with a heel. So the ideas for the socks often came from something that I personally would have wanted.
Well, and kind of building on that, one thing that really fascinates me about design is that it's such an individual process. Every designer I've talked to has had a different answer regarding their process. So can you tell us a little about yours? I mean, I know you said that it kind of came from wanting socks that fulfill these needs for you. Moving past just socks, when you're designing, how does it begin?
Well, a couple of ways. Well, one of them is like what I want. Another one is if I see a particular yarn, I can often get inspired, very inspired, from saying, I know exactly what that yarn should be. It just comes to me. I don't know, you know, whether the properties of the yarn, what it's made of, whether it's wool, whether it's a blend, the color of it, how the torque of the yarn, the twist of the yarn. I guess you could say the yarn just speaks to me and says, I want to be this. So that's how it's hard to say where that comes from. I don't know. And function, when it comes to socks, functionality, you can't get away from functionality when you come to the feet, unlike hats, where you can be a little freer in designing because it has to fit, but it's more sculptural. The hat can take on a whole lot of other forms other than a sock, which really has to work. A sock has to work on the foot no matter what you do with it. And a lot of times it's a surface design. You do pattern work or either textured or colored work on a sock. But that's when I started thinking, well, a sock is more than just a sock, and that you can think of doing, you can layer it and trying to take the definition of a sock beyond that, a slipper, a sock. And so inspiration, I guess, comes from a number of different places. It's hard to pinpoint any one design, One of the socks in the book inspired me from the spiral sock from World War II. I'm trying to think of what the name of that was. During World War One, spiral socks were made for soldiers, and they didn't like them because the spiral, it was like a tube sock where the spiral went actually right down the whole tube sock, and because it went onto the foot as well, it would torque when the men wear it, which meant it twisted, and the men didn't like that twist. So I reinvented it. I did it in such a way that you would have the spiral at the top so that it would cling to your foot, but then I just added a rib at the bottom so the ribbing on the foot part wouldn't twist like it did in World War One for the men. And that sock is pretty, and the inspiration is rather apropos for 2014 because it really reflects the 100th year anniversary also of World War One. So that was the inspiration behind that particular sock, was the spiral, World War One spiral sock. So that's just an example.
And I think that's the Do the Twist sock.
Yes, exactly.
Love that one.
So you get inspiration comes from different places depending on the item. There's another sock. I'm trying to look this up in the book. It's black and white in the book, and they're very heavy, bulky socks. And what inspired those, it's called Echo of Deco. And I was out west snowshoeing, and my instructor was wearing a microfiber skirt snowshoeing, and I said to her, you know, isn't that kind of cold when you're walking like that and just with tights? And she said, no, it's actually, you know, not bad at all. I was fascinated by the idea of wearing a skirt and snowshoeing. And then I thought to myself, wouldn't it look great if she had an amazing pair of socks underneath that skirt while she was snowshoeing, which inspired Echo of Deco, if you look at it, it's a black sock with a white pattern in it. And so that was another inspiration of, you know, seeing how I'd want something again. I'd want to wear a skirt with this particular sock.
Well, and speaking of inspiration, you've been at Knitterati for a while. You have best-selling books, patterns in every major knitting publication.
Yes.
And you're a huge inspiration to me, and I think a lot of other new designers. Who's your knitting hero?
Oh, no one has ever asked me that question. That's interesting. I actually do. I find I'm really all about ideas, and I think, and I say this as advice too for aspiring designers. I think in order to make a mark on the design world, I think you really have to present new ideas. And I think when I think of other people who do that, like consistently, one of them is or was Teva Dorum when she was working. Teva Dorum.
Okay.
And I also think Nora Gowan at Barocco. She's full of ideas. And it's just when I see like a completely new idea or a completely new neckline or something, I'm like, wow. I mean, it's just like it's the wow factor for me. It's like it's something new I learn as well. So I look for people who have something new to say. I'm trying to think of, so Teva and Nora, and I love Pam Allen's work up at Quince and Company. I tend to veer more towards, I like classic with a twist, and I also like a minimal look. So that's why Pam's work appeals to me a lot. Minimum, but it's interesting. Minimal work, an idea of minimalism, it can be very interesting. But it's not, to me, if it's done right, it's not boring. I have a T-shirt shirt right now at Knitwear Magazine, what I call a 6-point tee, and it's the epitome of minimalism. But it just so works. I mean, when you wear it on the body, it just so works, and it just so looks good. It looks good on everybody. So, I look for people with ideas.
And now the hot button issue: toe up or cuff down?
That's interesting. I like, you know, after, and I want to say in Happy Feet, I presented toe up, cuff down, and afterthought heel. I wanted to include every methodology in the book because I think they're all intriguing. And I think once you can master them, I think they're all equally easy to do. And to that end, I included a basic pattern for each sock in that book. And you'll see at the very end of my book, I did this in white just so you could see it. It was almost like if a person who designs in fabric uses muslin as a basic pattern making. I thought I should provide three white socks that you could see what a cuff down, a toe up, and a sock with an afterthought heel in it was. And I don't have any preference. I mean, there's a reason why one should use an afterthought heel in that. I mean, an afterthought heel sock is really fun to do because you could don't have to worry about the heel and you can kind of get that after the fact, so you can really concentrate on the design, on the leg, and that goes down to the foot. And then you can say, okay, I can go back and do the heel, and I can rethink that at the very end. So there's something appealing about that to me. But I have no preference. No preference at all. And last night I was talking to a group of people, knitters, and I took a vote who liked what type of methodology. And you know, it was basically even. There was no one favorite that the group had. So I thought that was interesting as well.
Well, and the next controversial question: double pointed needles or magic loop?
You know, that's another thing. I have never knitted with a magic loop. And I heard this group last night talking about a magic loop, which is, that's one of my next things I'm going to try, is how to knit a magic loop. I really love my double points. It's hard to get over them. But I am going to explore this magic loop thing. So I have never done a magic loop.
It's funny that you bring that up. We did a pair of socks recently on Lattes and Llamas, and I was determined to do magic loop on those socks. I'd never done it. I wanted to be, you know, part of the crowd. And I couldn't get the swing of it. About halfway through, I switched back to my DPNs.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. It's hard. And, you know something so well, and you knit a lot. It just becomes second nature. So to learn something new can sometimes be tough. But I'm curious. I would like to see how it works. But good for you for trying. But, yeah.
If you were stranded on a desert island and could only have one yarn with you, what brand, fiber, and weight would it be? One yarn for the rest of your life.
These are tough questions. Wow. You know, the first thing that popped into my mind, and this is terrible because I think, and then after that popped in, a bunch of other things popped in, and it's like asking me to pick my favorite child, and I just so want to do that.
I know, it's killer. Our favorite answer we've gotten to that so far was rope, so I could make a hammock.
Oh, how interesting. That's interesting, too. Now, I have favorites. I can't pick one. I also like different wool has different properties, or even cotton, and I can really get into a linen blend. I just made a handbag with a cotton-linen blend, which I loved.
Oh, fun.
I know, and it's just, and different fibers do different things, so it's like you're telling me I can't pick. I could tell you some of my favorites. Can I tell you some of my favorites?
Definitely.
I do love Madeline Tosh for sock yarn.
Mm-hmm.
I am also just mesmerized by Trish Anderson's yarn of Tanglewood Fiber. She's up in Oregon, and she has hand spinners. It's just like a fiber from another world.
I love hand spun.
Yes, it's hand spun, and it's just extremely luxurious, and I've included it in a lot of my books just because I think her yarn should be seen. There's incredible colorations, and there's a lot of hand spun yarn out there, but hers is particularly special. What else do I do? I really like a bulky yarn. I love almost like a roving type yarn, like Cascades Magnum. I think that's so much fun to play with and to experiment with, and I often do things with that. Twinkle, when Twinkle was operating, I don't know whether Classical Elite still sells Twinkle, but I like their big, bulky, roving yarn as well. It's fun to knit. It's fun to wear. I think it's very fashion-y.
Yeah.
I like that look. I really like a classic yarn look, but I love to experiment, so It's hard to say. It's really hard to say. It's an interesting question, Zach. Good for cornering me.
I think this one will be easier.
Okay.
Here at Lattes and Llamas, we spend almost as much time thinking about coffee as we do about yarn. So what's your favorite caffeinated beverage?
Oh, yeah, because I can't drink coffee. But I do love tea. I love PG Tips tea. It's an English tea. You can get it in the supermarket. PG Tips. It's a black,
yum,
English black,
yep,
tea, and I like it with milk. Yeah.
Jackie loves PG Tips.
Yeah, it's my favorite. And for years, when I grew up in Massachusetts, we lived on Red Rose from Canada. But then when I lived in London for a while, I discovered PG Tips, and I never turned back.
And And getting back to Happy Feet, I have to tell you, I'm obsessed with this book. I'm taking a trip in a few weeks, and getting Ziggy will be my travel project.
Oh, great.
I don't know if I'm more excited to knit it or wear it.
Oh, no, it's a fun project. It is a fun project.
It is, and I have the perfect yarn. I'm super excited. I've got this yarn that's been sitting in my stash just waiting for the right project.
And what is that?
It is a mulberry silk, and I feel awful because I can't remember the brand right now, but I promise to publish it underneath this interview on the blog.
Well, that's interesting. So it's silk. You know, I have to say, I never used a silk yarn in this book for socks. I've never knit silk socks.
I love mulberry silk for socks.
Interesting. Yeah, no, that's another idea. See, there you go. A woman of ideas.
What was your favorite project from the book?
My favorite project. You know, each one was an exploration. And it's hard to say that, because I learned from my own knitting. And I'm telling you, one of the things that really keeps me interested in knitting all the time is that I'm personally constantly always learning. And for as long as I've knitted and for as much as I knit, I'm always learning. And each project, I learn something. I particularly enjoy doing something like Solids and Stripes. It was a slipper I did that used three motifs. It's on page 106, and you basically knit three squares, and I show you how to sew them together to make a pair of really nifty slippers. And I just love that. Again, I love the simplicity of it. I love the minimalism of it, but yet it works, and it's a great gift, and it was just fun to do. It's quick, fast, and fun to do. So I enjoy something like that.
And I have to admit it to above. I remembered it's Valley Yarn Charlemagne. And it's got almost the glitter to it. It's this really fabulous deep purple and white mulberry silk.
And that's Valley Yarns up in Northampton, yes?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Go there as much as I can.
I've never been, but I've heard it's amazing.
Yeah, it's in Northampton. I went to Smith. And I have a daughter there now, so every time I have to pick her up or bring her home, I'm at Webb's Valley Yarns.
So what's your next knitting conquest?
My next knitting? I am starting. I think I can announce it, even though I have the contract. I haven't signed it. I'm going to do a Cowl Girls 2, a second volume of Cowls. There's a lot more to be said about Cowls, and we think that we're going to say it in this one. And people continue to like Cowls. So you'll see it in Cowl Girls 2.
I think Cowls are one of those things that they're a staple that stands the test of time.
It is.
They're great for any season. They're great for any outfit.
They are. And you can, I mean, they can, every coat should have one. You can wear it, if it's wide enough, you can wear it as a shawl. It's just a really functional thing to have, and yet you can do so many things design-wise with it. It's reachable. It's doable for most people. So, yeah, it is a great item to do. So, yeah, hopefully we'll start on that next week. What I do is I meet with a yarn editor at Vogue, and we sit down for an afternoon, and we start specking out yarn. And we'll be going soon. Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Well, Kathy, unfortunately, we're running out of time, but thank you so much for being here, and we'd love to have you back again when Cowl Girls 2 comes out.
Thank you so much for having me, Megan.
Fashionistas, I hope you had as much fun today as I did. Click on the link below and get yourself a copy of Happy Feet. You won't be disappointed. Until next time, knit fast, die warm, and keep caffeinated.